Don't we just love that?
Sometimes I have time to mute her before she says it. Father, we thank you for Mark. We thank you for his willingness to come and share this morning. We thank you for his presence with us. It's such a joy having him and Fiona in amongst us as part of our family. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon Mark right now. Would you fill him afresh right now, even? Holy Spirit, come upon him and anoint him to bring your word. And anoint us to hear the words that you have to say through him this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Tamsin is being transformed. It will become clear. Actually, Winsome, I've taken a leaf out of your book. I've got visual aids. The other day I was just preparing for today, and I felt the Father give me a couple of verses that he wanted to speak out of. And I sat down and I prepared a really good word. All the preparation flowed. It just came together. It was one of those times. It just came together. And I felt really pleased with it at the end of the morning. And the next morning, when I woke up in quite early, I was just lying in bed and I was thinking about the word I'd prepared the previous day, and it had no life in it at all. And it just felt completely dead. And I felt I said, Father, why? Yesterday it had so much life in it, and today it feels like, you know, a piece of whatever, you know? So, and he said very clearly to me, he said, Mark, I don't want you to say that on Sunday. He said, I want to do it. And so I'm going to speak for only a few moments, and then I'm trusting that the Father's going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's going to do it. If he doesn't, then it will be a short meeting and we can all go home. But I'm really believing that, you know, he spoke and he wants to do something in us today, in us. You know, the titles we use, they define the relationships we have, don't they? The titles we use define relationships. A few years ago, I had the privilege of meeting Prince Edward. He came to an event. I was the chairman of the trustees, and he came to this event, and we all lined up in a line, and we shook his hand, and I went completely speechless when it was my turn to speak to him. I couldn't remember what I was supposed to be saying, but before he turned up, his private secretary arrived early, and she took the welcoming line, which was me and a few others, to one side, and she said, now, when Prince Edward comes down the line, the first time you talk to him, you say, Your Royal Highness. And then the second time and subsequent times you speak to him, you say, Sir. Now, if you meet the Queen, I've never met the Queen, but if you meet the Queen, the first time you talk to her, you say, Your Majesty. And then the second and subsequent times you speak to the Queen, you say, Ma'am. Ma'am, and they always say ma'am rhymes with ham. So that you get it right. It's not ma'am, it's ma'am rhymes with ham. See, so if you ever meet the Queen, you now know what to say. You see, so Prince Edward comes and he goes down the line, and I remember Your Royal Highness. And then I start talking to him and I go all dry and can't remember what I was supposed to say. But I do remember it's Sir. You see, I'm never going to be on first names terms with Prince Edward. It's never going to be Teddy. Or Edward, or Ed, is it? You know, it's always going to be Your Royal Highness, Sir. Because that defines the relationship I have with Prince Edward. See, the titles, they define our relationship. I was in Uganda a few years ago, and I had a group of people. And I'm not very good at remembering names. So I had a whiteboard, and I said to the people, the group of people, I said, would you just write your name on the board and what you do? That would really help me. So they all came. Well, actually, it was very interesting because what happened was the men all came up first. And they came to the whiteboard and they wrote in big letters, Pastor. And then in small letters, they wrote Steve or John. And some of them even put Apostle in big letters. And then underneath, David. And I thought, that's interesting. And then I hadn't prepared them for this. I just said, this is what we want to do. Then the ladies came up. And they wrote in big letters, Sarah. And then in small letters underneath, nurse. Or joy. And teacher. Or Juliet. And then in small letters, cook. And I looked at this and I thought, that's really interesting. They have just defined themselves in a very interesting way. All of the men, typical, had defined themselves by their title, their function. All of the ladies had defined themselves by their name. So I must admit, at this point, I was a little bit naughty. But I took the rubber and I rubbed off everybody's title. You know, the pastor, the housekeeper, the cook, the teacher, the nurse. I rubbed off all of the titles, all of the functions. And then we were just left with their names. And of course, all of the ladies' names were in big letters. And all of the men's names were in little letters. And I think some of the guys were slightly offended at that point in time. But, but you see, the title had defined them, who they were. You know, these guys, they wanted to be known not as David, Steve, or John. They were the pastor. And, you know, that's how they wanted to be known. That's how they were defined. And we do that, don't we? You know, the titles we use for people. You know, when I was at work, people called me the accountant. We better talk to the accountant about this. You know, what? I got a name, but I was the accountant. You know, if our computer systems went wrong, we would call the techies. You know, we had no idea what their name was. We would just call the techies, you know, because we use those titles to define the relationship we have. You know, my relationship with the techies was I needed technical help. And I didn't care who gave it me as long as they gave it me. But those titles we use all the time to define relationships. And Jesus really, well, as Jesus does, Jesus really nailed it one time with the Pharisees. Because he really showed them something. He showed them in one sentence, he showed them the importance of personal relationship with the Father. And in John chapter 8, verse 54, Jesus simply says, "My Father, of whom you say, he is our God." See, they're talking about the same person. Jesus and the Pharisees are talking about the same person. But Jesus says, I know him as my Father. You know him as your God. And what Jesus wants to do is, you know, Jesus spent his life revealing the Father. And, you know, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, whoever believes in him should not perish. See, we know that God loves the world, and we know that we are included in that definition of the world, that corporate definition. You know, we know that we are loved as part of humanity. I've been to Uganda, I think I'm going in 2 weeks' time, and that will be my 18th trip. I think, 18th or 19th trip to Uganda. It's a country that I've grown in my love for. You know, as a country, as a nation, as a people, you know, there's a growing love in my heart for the nation of Uganda. Do I know the 25 million people that live in Uganda? No. But I have a love, a corporate love for that nation. When I get to Uganda, I'm going to a retreat center I've been going there since 2005, and I know a lot of the people there. I have a real love for the individuals that are there. See, and that's the difference. You know, we know that God loves the world, and we live in the goodness and the fulfillment and the enjoyment of God loving the world. But what Jesus wants to do is take that corporate expression of love and bring it right down to the level of our individual hearts. And that's what I feel he wants to do today for us. You know, it doesn't matter that we're few in number, but he wants to touch our hearts with his love and with his presence so that we have a revelation of who he really is. You know, that as Jesus said of the Pharisees, you know him as God, but I know him as Father. You know, my kids know me as Dad. You know, they don't, well, they sometimes call me things, you know, rude names like all kids do, you know. But they don't call me the boss. They don't call me the master. They don't call me sir. They call me Daddy, because that's who I am to them. You know, and I wouldn't expect them to call me anything else. I mean, when we're messing around and joking, sometimes they call me other things. But, you know, I am Dad to them. I am Father to them. You know, I might be, well, I am hugely imperfect as a father, but I have been a father to them in the best way that I can be. You know, I've made huge mistakes. Fiona knows all about my mistakes. And if, you know, and it, yes, of course I've made mistakes, but I have a personal relationship with them. And I'm, you know, it's such a joy, you know, as they're grown up now that we're friends, you know, with all of them. Both of us are friends with them all. It's just a privilege. And I have a relationship with each of them individually, not as a corporate, these are my children, but I have a relationship with Francis, with Hillary, with Hannah, with John, one-to-one. See, and that's what the Father wants to do with us. And, you know, Jesus, sometimes the Bible is full of contradictions. You know, it says one thing and then a couple of chapters later it seemingly says completely the opposite. And that can be very frustrating until we understand what is being said, because it's one, you know, we contradict ourselves, don't we? You know, we say different things because we say what is right for one occasion and then on another occasion we say what is right for that occasion, which wouldn't have been right for this occasion, and they seemingly contradict, but they're actually the right words, but for different situations. In John chapter 14, in verse 14, Jesus is having that last meal with his disciples, and I think it's a very confusing conversation they're having in John chapter 14. I mean, we know the end of the story. We know what happens, but these guys are faced with the turmoil of Jesus being taken away from them and being crucified. And in verse 14 of John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples, "You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it." And I think that must have been very comforting for the disciples. You know, at last, a sentence we understand. You know, oh, he'll do anything. But then in chapter 16 and verse 23, Jesus seemingly says the opposite. You know, he's just said to them, "You can ask me anything." In John 16, verse 23, he says, "In that day, you will ask nothing of me." And you can imagine the disciples saying, "Hang on. Two chapters ago, when we were having our hors d'oeuvres before the meal, Jesus said we could ask him anything. And now we're having dessert. He says, you don't ask me anything." No, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father, he will give it to you." See, Jesus has completely changed things. In those two verses, they can appear a little bit like a contradiction. You know, what does he mean? You can ask me. Oh, no, don't ask me. You won't ask me anything, but you can ask the Father. See, what he's saying to them is the transition is taking place. is that God is revealing himself to us individually. God the Father is becoming to us the Father that he was to Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, just as I go to the Father, just as I call him my Father, just as I've got that direct access to him, so you too can have direct access to the Father. You can go to the Father because of what he's done, what he's doing through my death that's coming up. You know, Jesus says, my Father is becoming your Father. You know, in the past you've known him as God. That's the title we often use. In the past you've known him as God, but I want you to know him as Father. And you can go to him. And the reason Jesus says is in John chapter 16, verse 27, the Father himself loves you. Must be one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. The Father himself loves you. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, that through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. When I was about 18 or 19 years old, I went on a church holiday up in the Lake District. And on the last night of that holiday, one of the leaders of the holiday, a guy called Dave Richards, is now in Whitney, part of the Whitney Church. I've been in Basingstoke for many, many years. Now, Dave Richards knew me, but he was in a different church, but he didn't know all about me. He knew a little bit about me, but he didn't really know what was going on. But he said to me on the last night of that church holiday, he came up to me when I was sitting in a chair on, I think, the front row, and he knelt down in front of me and put his hands on my shoulders. And he said, Mark, you've learned to be a servant, but God wants you to be a son. And from that moment onwards, I knew God was my Father. And from that moment, I would pretty much say that that's what I call God. Whenever I talk to him, whenever I pray, whenever I talk about him, I call him Father. Because that's who he is to me. And that's who he wants to be to each one of us. And I believe we're a people here who've had a revelation of the Father. We know the Father. We know about the Father. We know who he is. I believe that's something Graham and Tamsin have sown into us over the years. But I know this morning that the Father wants to take us deeper into that revelation. See, my visual aid, my magnets. You know what magnets are like. If you get them the right way around, they stick together, don't they? If you get them the wrong way around, they don't stick together. You know, and I think when we see God as God, we're a little bit like this. We're trying to get a connection. We're trying to get a good connection. We're just trying to really find out about him and understand him and get to grips with him. And we just can't do it. You know, we can get a partial connection. You know, we can kind of make it work, but we can't have that connection with him. But when we see who he really is, it's just like that. When we see him as not just as Jesus's Father. I travel around a lot talking about the Father. One of the common things people say to me is, God is Jesus's Father. Well, yes, he is. And it's a huge step for them to say, well, he's my Father as well. You know, they've kind of got a connection. They've got something. And they're trying to find, I believe everyone's trying to find that connection. And it's only as we really turn, change, that we get that. The amazing thing about that is, now, I can't have a partial connection. The partial connection is not working. You know, it's not working that way either. You know, and it's like once we've tasted of something, we want it. Once we've tasted of something, we can't go back. Once we've tasted of something, we can't be satisfied with a partial connection. You see, even that's a bit loose. You know, we want to be like that. And that's what I believe the Father wants to do. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 3:19, Jeremiah prophesies on behalf of God. He says, I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. You know, how gladly would I treat you as children and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn from following me. See, God the Father has an inheritance for each one of us. He has a place of belonging for each one of us where we know that we're safe and secure, where we can call him Father. And so I've enlisted a little bit of help this morning from the Trinity. This is the Trinity. This is the Trinity. We've got two Trinities. They're the same Trinity, but this is the Trinity. This is the Father. That's the Father. This is the Father. On his right hand, this is Jesus. And this is the Holy Spirit. One of the things C.S. Lewis writes about is us joining our life with the life of the Trinity. And C.S. Lewis describes it not as three chairs. He does actually describe it as three chairs at one place, but he describes it as a dance, the dance of the Trinity. And as with most things that C.S. Lewis writes, he writes about it incredibly clearly in a way that we've hardly begun to experience. You know, and so this is the Trinity. This is the Trinity. And I'm just going to put some music on and invite you to receive, invite you to ask Jesus for a revelation of the Father. In John chapter 17, Jesus starts that prayer for his disciples and for us. He says, I have revealed you. I've made you known. And he ends that prayer with the same words, I have made you known. And I love that last verse of John 17 because there's a huge revelation in there for each one of us. These are Jesus' last words before he goes to the cross. The very last words before he's arrested. And Jesus said, I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. And what he wants us to do is he wants each one of us to experience, Jesus wants each one of us to experience the same love that he experiences. And I want to give us an opportunity to receive. I believe that's what the Father wants to do today. You're very welcome to stay where you are and just receive. You know, if that's something that's more comfortable for you, that's fine. But if you want to come and sit on the Father's chair and just look at the Son and say, Jesus, will you reveal the Father to me? Then maybe Graham and I will take a Trinity each and just be available to pray for you if you'd like. You might just want to come and sit in these chairs and just receive and not be prayed for. That's fine. If there's a queue forming, feel free to get another three chairs and have another Trinity. But I just believe this is what the Father wants to do this morning for us. And so, Father, thank you that you sent your Son. You sent your Son to bring us back home. Father, thank you that you sent your Son, that whoever believes in him not only receives that wonderful, amazing gift of eternal life, but we receive the right to become and to live as sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to show us that each one of us is loved in exactly the same way, with exactly the same intensity of passion, as you are loved. And Father, I just ask very simply now that we would have a revelation of who you are. And as we do, that maybe even the titles that we use for you will change. Maybe even for the first time we will start to say, my Father. God, you really are my Father. So Father, I just ask for that revelation to fill our hearts, to change our hearts. And as we just sit in your presence, Father, may you pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That this morning we would have an encounter with the presence of our heavenly Dad. We would have an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. We would have an encounter with the person of Jesus who takes us by the hand and leads us, who became the way for us to find the Father. Thank you, Father, for your great love. That not only did you love the whole world, but you loved me as an individual. And you draw me as an individual into relationship with you. That I find I belong. That I find I have an inheritance as a son. The Holy Spirit, just come to each of us now and pour the Father's love into our heart. That love will cause something inside of us to turn round so we have a complete connection with the one who loves us. Thank you, Father.